We're excited this morning to have Pastor Joe Donnell with us. Joe is doing a lot of ministry with Native Americans, been out to Pine Ridge and around, and he's going to share, and probably somebody else going to share too. But God bless you, Joe, as you come.
All right. Probably don't need it too much, but we'll see. Well, it's good to be here with you. It's an honor and a privilege to, as we're talking, the kingdom of God is about relationship, amen? And just where the God has led us on this journey this last stretch of our lives. I was a part of a large denomination. I'm not going to go into which one, but basically, the vision that God had given us, it was almost becoming a hindrance to what God wanted us to do. And the other thing is that I really didn't have relationship. It's not that I didn't want to, it's just that it wasn't available. Things were more geared towards the system rather than to that relationship. And I began to develop relationship here with some awesome elders in the faith. And also I have relatives here in the congregation. And so God just opened up a door for us to go through with the ordination here. And we live right across the parking lot. So it's, it just seems to fit really well. But we just thank you and honor you as a church body that has really given and generously to the ministry of Warrior Circle. This is 9 years in the making. It all started with the powerful deliverance that I had, and as the Lord delivered me, I seen the demonic entities leaving my life. And from there, I had a series of visions, and those visions are coming forth now, and it's 9-10 years later. And so, just wanted to give you a little update on what's going on. We're Warrior Circle is the name. The Lord gave us that name because he's raising up warriors in this last day who are willing to lay down their life. You know, if there's an unsurrendered area of our life, the enemy has a lot to work with. But if we come to that point where Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me, realizing that we'll enter into a level of suffering, but if we're dead, then it doesn't really bother us that much. That's right. And in fact, we can't even come alive, the scriptures say, until we die. Amen. And so, When that part of us is dead, then we can experience the full life of the Spirit, but also we can see him do great and mighty things, recognizing that we're lifting him up and that everything has to do with him. He's the head of the church, right? Jesus? Yeshua? And so it's amazing to see what's happening. So the vision of Warrior Circle has really been, you pray because you see the brokenness in Native America. And in America, we can become desensitized to what's going on. And one pastor said, we fly over mission fields to get to other mission fields. There is just this great thing happening. There's this great thing to conquer when we can fly over an ocean to help people. But we realize that when teenagers are taking their life all the time, and it doesn't seem like there's too much of anybody doing it. We become so desensitized. Whether it's a cultural thing, but it's sad. And so many, many years of crying and weeping and before the Lord and saying, God, when are you going to do something in Native America? What's going on? And I pray for revival, and the Lord said back to me, he said, if I were to bring revival and there's no leaders, then what's going to happen? And he said, I want you to be a part of raising up leaders that can bring the transformation. And it's not just, a lot of people set their sights on just, well, if I could just get sober. And that's kind of how our minds come to think, you know, I just need to get sober and my life will be okay. But there's far more than just getting sober. There's far more than just becoming this or becoming that. But to move in God's kingdom, to move in his power is amazing. There's no height. There's no boundary in the Spirit to what he can do. We want to move from glory to glory, and even the kingdom of God is like a seed that's planted, and it's like the smallest of all the seeds, but it becomes the largest of all the trees, and even the birds will come and rest in it. There is no stop to what the kingdom, when the kingdom is planted in a person, there is no stopping to what God will do. And so I feel like we've done an injustice to people, because a lot of times what's happened, and I don't want to put down the church, but we preach this gospel that you come down and say a prayer, and almost like then we die and we just don't go on. It's just the prayer is the seed, and it's a starting point, but it's got to become a tree.
That's right, amen.
And we just feel like that's what's happening with Warrior Circle. We got four guys that are here, one other guy that graduated the second phase, and it's just been a powerful thing. Just the healings that are coming forth, deliverance, every place we've gone, there's been healing and deliverance and salvation. Jesus said the signs of the kingdom, when John the Baptist asked, he said, well, after he already knew Jesus was doing miracles, he still sent someone to ask. Okay, is he really the Messiah? Let's go check this guy out one more time. The blind see, the sick, the deaf hear, the sick are healed. Good news is being preached to the poor. That's a symptom of the kingdom. If that's this aren't happening, the kingdom is not advancing.
That's right.
That's the normal thing. The book of Acts, why did Jesus said, greater things will you do in my name? Why did he say that? Because he just came to start it, and then it's supposed to grow and get bigger. It wasn't just a one-time thing, or even that was the height of it. The height of it is now the expression of the church here. We're supposed to be growing way farther than what happened there. And it's supposed to expand even more. There's places in God that you would be amazed. You know, I mean, this is what Paul's saying. The dimension of Paul's thinking is so otherworldly that we try to bring Paul in and we try to look at all these things. But he said, I was in prayer. I don't know if I was in my body or out of my body, second or third heaven. I don't know. But when you get to that place in prayer with God, then things always transform from the spiritual into the natural. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not going to see the natural impacted. And God wants the believers to go to those places in Him. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. No, when I die one day, I'm just going to go to be with Jesus. No, we're seated with Him right now in heavenly places. And those heavenly places impact the earth. And that's where He wants us to live. And it's a joy. And it's no place religion can dwell. Religion can't dwell there. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We can be in the midst of the craziest thing, but if you're in those heavenly places and your mind is there where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, then joy just comes naturally. I mean, I have fallen over stone cold drunk in the Spirit, and I can't control it. But when you go places with God, He can do those things. It's not that we run after the manifestation, we run after Him, and he's up to how the results come forth. You know? And so it's just amazing. And so it's strange how this works out, because we have the fivefold ministry represented with us five. It's just crazy how God worked that out. And these guys are growing in their giftings. We have the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor, and the prophet, and I moved into an apostolic role. And it's crazy how God would have the first class come forward and set the foundation of the fivefold ministry. It's amazing how He does that. And these guys, you know, we go into territories and we encounter the principality. And the Lord uproots that, and people are healed and set free. And it's not because of us. It's because of His divine order. And when we come to alignment with His divine order, There's no resistance. You know, I when I was in the Air Force, I went to electronics school, and you know, I found out how circuits work and stuff because they put resistors in, so there's not too much power flow. But when we come into alignment with the Word of God and God's kingdom and the way He originally intended, we don't have to press. We don't have to push. We don't have to do all these things. It just naturally flows. It's just amazing. And I wasn't going to preach. That's not what I was going to talk about today. So I'll just. But, you know, it's just. I'm just in awe. So you guys are investing in something, I believe, that God is. That God is called to break new ground. Amen. I mean, there in Native America, there's been a sense of dependency. The government actually strategically designed it to have Native people depend on them. So when the buffalo were killed, that was a strategic plan so that the Native people would depend on the government for food, so that if we had to depend upon them for food for our survival, then we wouldn't have a military force to resist anymore. So what's happened is that it's turned around to where Native leaders, we don't always lead now because there's a sense of dependency that's so ingrained. But that's changing in this hour. We come to the fullness in Christ. And we lead. And you know what? And we've done missions great all over the world. We send in the missionary, and the missionary goes and works with the indigenous leaders, and the church comes forth, and they're using their music style, and they're doing what's common to their culture, and the kingdom of God is like a seed that's planted, and it comes up naturally as an indigenous plant. Yeah. But in America, we got a long ways to go. Yes, where are the Native leaders? You know, what's the sad thing is that a lot of times, someone will support a non-Native missionary, and they'll give the money, and they can raise the budget, and they can do all these things. But the real stronghold is that we don't have Native leaders that are stepping up and bringing transformation in a lot of places. And the ones we do have, they're very few. And so I'm glad that this church has given to the effort, because if you raise up a leader that's indigenous to that area, to that territory, and you go and they're equipped fully to what needs to happen, they can go past all the cultural barriers, all that extra stuff that you need to do, and get right in there and start meeting the need. Why did Paul install indigenous leaders wherever he went? Because he knew that they knew what to do with their people. It's Paul's model. I'm not saying non-Native people can't, but I'm saying we live in such a hard stage of self-determination that there is a resistance to outsiders that's even growing even more. And Christianity in Native country is even becoming more persecuted. And that's why we need the Native leaders to arise from within, because you can't push someone that's a tribal member off their land. And we need those people, and that's what these guys represent, and that's what I believe the Lord is doing. So I'm just thankful to the church for really just supporting that effort and helping to see that happen. So it's just amazing what's happening. But anyway, I was going to share something today, and I just feel like the Lord was redirecting things. You know, the Lord has the right to do that. And I'm just grateful that we're at a church that can happen. So Seth is a really gifted teacher, I think, by calling and anointing. And he delivered a word to the rest of our group last night that was just blew us away. And God gave him something just really powerful. But I want you to think as he's talking to you about this, and then I'll close after he's done. But just think about how God views us. Think about what he did for us. And think about the relationship that he wants with us as he tells you this, what he's brought out through this teaching. So Seth, why don't you just come up and share that with us, and then I'll close.
So I'm new at this. They say I'm a teacher. I just like to study, but I'll do my best to bring it to light. So the scripture I'll be reading from is Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 27. I'll just give you a little background about the chapters before that in Numbers. It's towards the end. They came out of when God told Moses to come out of Egypt, and God allowed Pharaoh to let his people go finally. It's 2 years after that, and God wants to establish the place of dwelling, the tabernacle. God asked Moses to count all the men from ages 20 on up from the different tribes. So you got 12 tribes. God specifically told Moses to encamp these tribes around the tabernacle so he'd be the center of it. And it's just amazing how God just like he's God, never mind. But so he does that. He takes the census of all the tribes all the way up to chapter 5. And he tells Moses to tell Aaron that the Levites don't have to be counted because of the high priest. And he asked him to get the number for the men so he could start raising up the army of the tribes to protect the camp, the people, and the community. So in chapter 6, towards the end, he leaves it open for any sons of Israel to be a high priest. Not to be a high priest, but to live as a high priest. And I just find it interesting when Peter talks about we're a peculiar generation, you know, we're a royal priesthood. So it's modeled like that even in the Old Testament when God leaves that door open for those same men who don't want to go to war but to be in the presence of God. Like, if you think about it, when you're in the presence of God, you're battling in the spiritual realm. So you're battling in two different places. You know, you're either battling in the physical or you're battling in the spiritual. So I just think that's amazing. But Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 27. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lifts up his countenance upon you and gives you peace. So the unique thing about this is the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. So when I study, I like to get the root word, the meaning, the fullness of the word, you know, because I understand, you know, the Lord blesses us. He keeps us. And the Lord makes his face to shine upon us. And he's to be gracious to us. And the Lord lifts up his countenance upon us. And he gives us peace. You know, we all understand that. We walk every day giving him what's his, you know, our lives. Our lives are his. So, but when I went in deeper, I started thinking, you know, well, Lord, you're Yahweh. All right? The Lord Yahweh, what does that mean? Well, it means he exists, you know. When Moses asked him in the burning bush, who are you, you know? Who do I tell your people that you are, you know? They understand that you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they don't know you. Who are you? So he says, I am that I am. I am self-existing. I am, I've always been, and I always will be. So the next word that came to mind was bless. And when you look, when you put yourself in the Hebraic mindset of being in that time, you think about what does blessed look like, you know? How does that appearance come about? So I went in a little deep and I didn't really understand. And then I was led to Genesis 24, verses 11. The background of that is Abraham is looking for a wife for Isaac. And he tells his servant to go to Mesopotamia, to the water hole, and look for a wife for Isaac. And the servant's like, what? You want me to go get a wife for your son? She's not even for me, you know? Like, how is that going to work? So he gets there, he goes, and the picture of it is he takes these camels and he kneels these camels down to the water hole, presenting something, but he has nothing. So he's there thinking, well, Lord God of Abraham, my master, if it be your will, the first girl to bring me water out of her jar and drinks, gives me drinks and drinks for my camels, she'll be the one for Isaac. So this girl, Rebecca, comes along and he asks her, can I have a drink of your jar? She goes, yeah, let me pour some for your camels too. So from her coming, she's seen something presented, but she didn't know what it was. So he even revealed himself to the servant. So we got this in Hebrew, blessed means barak, which means to kneel. So we have this picture kneeling, you know. So to present a gift I should just stick to my notes. The same word used in this meaning is to kneel. Kneel down to present a gift as one would do to show respect. You know, when you come into the presence of a king, you kneel down and you give him what is his or what you're giving him. So the next word we look at is keep, which is sharam. I'm not an expert in Hebrew yet, but it's sharam, which is to keep. And the image we get of this is they're a nomadic people. So you have all these tents set up around this, like you could just picture the tabernacle, and then you have all these people encamped around in a big old circle, and then you have people off in the field over there herding sheep, watching the cattle, and just watching over the flock. So what we get is we get a guy keeping together the sheep. So when you go in, and it depicts it as to guard or to protect, as a shepherd would protect the flock. So he's keeping. So we got Yahweh, he who exists, and then Barak, bless, to present a gift, to kneel down, and then keep, which is to guard and to protect. And then the verse keeps going on. It's the Lord bless you, the Lord keeps you, the Lord makes his face. So we're at face now, which is, I don't like this word, it's panonymia. It's as close as I could get to it, but it's a plural word for reflect. The Aramaic sense of motion, as the face reflects many different moods, emotions, and thoughts. The Hebrew word can mean the face, but also the presence, or the wholeness of being of an individual. So that one just blew me away, because I don't like making faces at people sometimes. I don't like showing emotions to people sometimes. I just like to be just like Raymond. That's the best example right there, you know. But it's just fascinating that it's the presence, you know, and the wholeness of being. So the next word is shine. The Lord makes his face to shine. And the word shine is light. As a noun, it's light. And as a verb, it is to be used here, as it is used here, is to give light or to shine. It is also related to the idea of giving order as light, being the opposite of darkness, bringing about order. So we got light, shine, to bring about order, the opposite of darkness. Amen. And then we got gracious. The next word is gracious. And that one's a good one. It's hananama. So I got to work on my dialect. I'm sorry. But like I said, it's a nomadic camp. You got families, tents, all arranged in a circle, and was viewed as a place of beauty. Not just the appearance of beauty, but the action, a place of warmth, love, friendship, community, and sustenance. The verb of hananana or hanana is the concept of beauty. So all the time, whenever I go to a new church, I like to be welcome. I like to know that I'm loved. I like to know that the people in the congregation are already loved before I get there. I like to feel the warmth. I like to feel the friendship. And the church on the outside doesn't even matter. It's about the people on the inside. Amen. And how they make me feel when I walk into a church. So that's gracious. The next word, we got continence, which is face again, wholeness of being. And then give. Sinam literally means to set in place. So the last word we come to at the end is gives you peace. So the word peace, the noun here, shalom, is from the verb shalom. The verb means to restore in the same sense of replacing or providing what is needed in order to make someone or something whole and complete. The noun shalom is one who has or has been provided what is needed to be whole and complete. So when we look at it from our perspective, we in Numbers, the verse says, the Lord bless you, the Lord keeps you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lifts up his countenance upon you and gives you peace. Amen. Amen. Couldn't ask for much more. Amen. And then when we read it with the fullness of meaning behind the Hebraic mindset, it says, Yahweh, he who exists will kneel before you presenting gifts and will guard you with a hedge of protection. Yahweh, he who exists, will enlighten the wholeness of his being towards you, bringing order, and he will provide you with love, sustenance, friendships. Yahweh, he who exists, will lift up his wholeness of being and look upon you. He will set in place all you need to be whole and complete.
Hallelujah.
All right, one more time. Yahweh, he who exists, will kneel before you and present gifts and will guard you with the hedge of protection. Yahweh, he who exists, will enlighten the wholeness of your being towards you, bringing order, and he will provide you with love, sustenance, and friendship. Yahweh, he who exists, will lift up his wholeness of being and look upon you, and he will set in place all you need to be whole and complete.
Amen. Bless you.
You see the picture. Jesus laying his life down, humbling himself. Philippians 2, verse 6, who being the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing to the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The question is, where are we at? Do we realize that it was him who did the act? I find myself thriving all the time to try to make myself acceptable. That's impossible. Because he went the distance. And it's in his nature. It's in his character. That he offers us the life that is made whole. Amen. The word salvation in the Greek means to be made whole. It doesn't say to say a prayer, I'm going to heaven, but to be made whole.
Yes.
To realize that the creator of the universe, the infinite one, didn't act on our behalf. This is the nature and the vision and the mission of the church. In this hour, to live in relationship to the one who did it.
Yes.
Can you imagine the God of the universe bowing down to give us gifts? All the terrible, rotten things that we've done. Doesn't matter. Because he did it, he chose. And the image is all the way through from the front of the Bible to the back. And this is just a reminder. Sometimes we need to refocus our vision. It's not to bring condemnation, but to refocus our vision. Is that the one that we serve? Do we live the whole life because of what he did? Have we let the fullness of his life become indwelt in the fullness of who we are? I don't know what image or what background or what environment you grew up in, but I know where he's trying to bring us. Into wholeness. Because he did the act. And he chose us. So whether it's abuse, whether it's a picture of religion that really didn't do anything for us to begin with, whether it's bitterness and anger and hatred, whether it's people that have harmed us, on that cross, he made a way for us to be made whole. Amen. He said, forgive everybody. He even says it in the prayer he taught us to pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. You know, 85% of people that are demonized and have demonic issues, it's because they have unforgiveness in their heart. But when we come to the cross and say, Jesus, I choose to forgive them. I release them. I'm not going to let them keep me in a prison any longer because you made the provision on that cross. Amen. And the full ramifications of that cross are released into our lives when we come into obedience with his word. Because he went the distance so we don't have to stay in bondage. Amen. One more day. So I just encourage you just to refocus your vision. If you haven't received Jesus, today's the day. Amen. There's no other day like today. There's no other moment like this moment to receive him. Maybe you've received Jesus, but it's been like plowing through the mud. And you're just working and thriving, trying to make yourself acceptable. You'll never be able to make yourself acceptable for him because he said our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amazing that the Apostle Paul said this, and this is a message for the church in this hour because I believe what we're doing a lot of times is we're shutting out the unbeliever, and this is why. At the end of Paul's ministry, when he reached the height, when people were getting healed in the shadows and he was handing cloths to them and they were getting healed, he was at the height of his ministry. He was walking in the place where Jesus was walking. He said this, I am the chief of all sinners. Imagine what the enemy tries to do to make ourselves think, oh, we're just so high and mighty. We got this, we got that. But if we live at that place of humility, in the book of Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The gateway into his presence is to reverence him, to lift him up and to realize our righteousness as filthy rags. But it's only the grace that was provided and the provision that was made at that cross when he made the choice to lay his own life down that we can start living. And then the mission of the church flows from that place to realize he did something for me when I was in my most ugly condition, and I'm not going to go back there to realize that I have some righteousness to offer somebody, but I'm going to live in a place that's surrendered because somebody else needs to come out of the fire. It's amazing the love he has for his church, the love he has for people, and the passion he has to see this world, dying world, that he came to pay for. But the thing is that he called us to continue the mission. He started it, and we're to finish it. And so I just encourage you today, and it's just been an honor to be here, Pastor. I'm just going to turn it over to you.